When my grandfather, Charles Frederick Biggs, was about 20 years old, he answered an ad in the newspaper that was calling for young men to learn how to service adding machines. So he was to take a test, and if he passed the test, then he was hired as a serviceman. He was born in 1912, which is the year the Titanic sunk, and he was raised on a dairy farm in rural Lowell, Michigan. He was the oldest of five children, and it was expected that when the time came, he would take over the farm. So that dairy farm, it was his legacy, his birthright. But my grandfather did not want to be a dairy farmer. So he took a huge risk, and he went and took that test, and he signed up for that company, and they relocated him to Shreveport, Louisiana. Around 1930, this happened. So Burroughs Company, this company that he signed up with, was the first company to sell adding machines. And my papa was a really hard worker. And so he moved to Louisiana, and he lived in the YMCA for a couple of years before he met my grandmother, and they bought their first house. And he worked for that company for 16 years as a serviceman, and then he became a salesman. And by this time, the first dry copy machine had been manufactured by 3M, and as you can imagine, there was a high demand for copy machines. He would fill up his station wagon in the morning with these copy machines, and he would go to dentist's office and doctors, hospitals, schools, and by the end of the day, he had sold all the copy machines out of his station wagon. In 1950, he bought that business, and it's still there. It's C.F. Biggs Company. It's still thriving in Shreveport, Louisiana. The technology has changed a lot, but he got in on it right at the beginning. So I, for one, am very grateful that he took that risk and moved from Michigan to Louisiana, where he met my grandmother, and consequently my mother was born, and it led to the creation of me. So very grateful for that. Following your call, whatever that call may be, is risky. So you've probably heard that ministers talk about their call to ministry. And folks say, what is your call story? Tell me about when you were called to ministry. So here's my call story. Ring, 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 ring. Hello?
May I speak to Katie?
This is she.
Katie, I have chosen you to be a servant to the people and become a professional minister.
Who is this? Is this a prank call?
I'm surprised you do not recognize the sound of my voice. I have been a little under the weather, so maybe that's why. Anyway, this is God calling.
Oh, God. How's it going?
I'm fine. Thanks for asking. So, Katie, I know you feel passionately about helping others and working to ensure all people are treated with equality, compassion, and love. I would like for you to go forth, my child, and do the good work of the church.
Well, that sounds interesting. I'm open to this idea. Make me an offer.
Well, the pay is not great. And I'll need you to go to school for 4 years and take on a lot of debt. But after you graduate, you will go to a committee handpicked by me. Good people, don't worry, they'll love you. After you pass that committee, you and I will work together to find a place that most benefits from your enthusiastic love of religion. Don't tell the others, but Unitarian Universalism is my favorite of all the religions.
Okay, God, I'll do it.
But first, have children, start your family, and then when your children are in elementary school, go to seminary. I know, it sounds crazy. Raise children, go to school, have a job and a life, but trust me, you can do it.
Why should I trust you?
Hello, I'm God, remember? Do not pull a Job on me.
I know y'all's Bible, y'all know it. Questioning God. Sometimes we just have to trust. And that's not that like we're going to not have doubts or questions. We are Unitarian Universalists, after all. But we allow ourselves to be led by a calling, to be led by a force that we might not understand. We surrender to the call, to the uncertainty, to the change that happens in that transition place. But being open to change is risky. Think about how you approach life. Do you do it business as usual, which is comfortable, I admit, or do we risk? Are we passionate and innovative and bold? How do we embrace uncertainty? So one of my favorite Unitarian Transcendental ministers, Ralph Waldo Emerson, said, "Life is an experience, and it is an experiment." Emerson cautions us, it's a mouthful, not to be timid or squeamish about our actions, because all life is an experiment. The more experiments, the better. What if they are a little coarse, and you get your coat soiled or torn? What if you do fail and get fairly rolled in the dirt once or twice? Up again, and you shall never be so afraid of a tumble. One experiment that we have been exploring this year is the development of a second campus of our congregation. So many of you have shared with me your desire to reach out to more people, to spread the good news of Unitarian Universalism. And I like to say that we are evangelical UUs. And when I say that we are evangelical, I mean that we are passionate about growing liberal religion. We are passionate about inviting people into our beloved community because it has changed our lives. I know that it has changed mine. And when we are a part of something that is so meaningful, so transformative, don't we want that for others? There are too many people, in my opinion, that do not know about Unitarian Universalism. And there are not enough UU communities. And so, when we think about how to change that, we have to take some risks. And one of the most creative and practical, I might add, ways to do this is through multi-site ministry. And I know that I have talked about multi-site ministry the 2 years that I have been here, but I'm going to talk a little bit more about it because I am on fire for this ministry in Lakewood Ranch. And I see in it such an opportunity for us. And it isn't just church planting. It's expanding who we are. It will be an extension of this congregation, but it will have its own identity, and it will figure out ways to live our values. We truly would be one congregation with several locations, beginning in Lakewood Ranch. You know, I dream that we're going to have UU churches all over the Sarasota, Bradenton area. Imagine, right now we have 400 members and 100 friends. Imagine what it would be like if we had 600 members, 700, 800, 1,000 members of this church. Imagine how many more lives would be touched and changed by Unitarian Universalism. So another thing that we're doing is we're working with a local congregation, the Manatee Fellowship, to see how we can support one another, because we are truly better together. But collaborating and trying something new, a new way to do ministry, is risky. We swing from one trapeze bar to the next, and we are taking a leap of faith as we do this new thing. President and great leader Teddy Roosevelt was a proponent for taking risks. Far better is it to dare mighty things, to win glorious triumphs, even though checkered by failure, than to take rank with those poor spirits who neither enjoy much nor suffer much because they live in the gray twilight that knows neither victory nor defeat. Another great leader, hockey player Wayne Gretzky, put it this way: "You'll always miss 100% of the shots that you do not take." You will always miss 100% of the shots that you do not take. You took a shot today by entering into this sanctuary, being a part of a religious community, and being intentional in our faith development is risky. asking yourself, what do I believe? And how am I going to nurture my spirituality? How am I going to nurture spirituality in others around me? My roots are in Christianity, and I have wrestled with my theology of my childhood, and I have reshaped my understanding of what it means to practice the teachings of Rabbi Jesus, what it means to live a life of compassion, devotion, justice, mercy, and sacrifice. I believe that, as my colleague Reverend Robin Bartlett put it, God is too vast for the canon to be sealed. I believe that no religion or book or human being has cornered the market on religious truth. As a Unitarian Universalist, I know that God comes to us in the form of art and music, poetry, and sacred scriptures from all the world's religions, and the everyday testimony of human beings. We are a theologically diverse community. How risky is that? How do we pull it off? With our covenant, what we read in our opening words, our covenant to accept one another and encourage each other's spiritual growth. That is how we pull it off. We stay at the table with curiosity, and we honor one another's journey, which can be tough a little bit. Reverend Barbara Merritt reminds us that spirituality is not about finding a cozy, safe religious community where all your troubles will disappear and life will finally become predictable, comforting, and soothing. It is not a place where the answers will be given to you, and it is not a place where our answers are going to be the same. I can guarantee you that. If the church is doing its job, you ought to bring a motorcycle helmet every time you come into this sanctuary, because like it or not, life is an adventure. Follow your call. Risk it. Be open to innovation and change. Risk it. Be intentional about your faith development. Risk it. Take the risk of love. Love yourself, love one another, and love your community. Oh, how I love this community, and I'm going to miss y'all when I'm not here. You are such a blessing in my life, and you have been such a blessing in my ministerial formation, and you bless each other. So what I want y'all to do is take a minute and look around you at the folks sitting next to you. Look at your neighbors. Look at them in their eyes. See, there you go. Look. See them? See them? And I want you to take a risk and turn to your neighbor and say, you are loved. Tell them you are loved. There we go. Because we are loved. Sometimes we might not feel loved, and sometimes we might not feel very loving. And sometimes we may be sad. We might feel defeated, hopeless. I know that there's times that I feel tired and frustrated. And there are days that we want to hide a little and not talk to others. I've been there. But this is an opportunity for risk. Reaching out to someone, letting them know that you need to feel love. Call a friend and let them know that you could use a little support. Or, if your friend hasn't called you, call them. My best friend, Luisella, knows that I haven't called her in a few days. That means probably something is off kilter in my life, and I don't want to put that on her. So I'm eager to help others and have them lay it on me, and yet I find it difficult to ask another to carry my load. Do y'all ever feel that way? Feel that maybe you're burdening someone else with your troubles or just scared to give voice to what's going on in your life? Picking up the phone and asking for help takes courage. Coming into a religious community with your whole, broken, beautiful self takes courage. When I met my husband, I was very cautious with our relationship. I didn't want to take the risk of becoming too attached because I was afraid of losing him, and I was afraid that I would get my heart broken. But I took that risk, and we've been married for 15 years this October. All of these risks, when it comes down to it, we take because of love. We are following love, searching for love, serving others in love, and sharing it, risking it all for love. And we grow with every risk. We may fail. We probably will fail a lot. But we may succeed. And each risk leads to growth. My wish for you and my wish for myself is to go love the hell out of the world. Go love the hell out of the world. Be bold and brave and willing to risk failure in the name of love. Swing from that trapeze bar and leap into the air, transitioning to the next bar. Welcome the fear. Welcome the change. And welcome the limitless possibilities that come to us when we risk. May it be so, and the people said, amen. The people said, amen.